The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Greetings to everyone across the 50 United States and north of our border. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside of the Beltway on this Monday. And greetings as well to those of you who are watching today on the brand new Salem News Channel. It's called the Salem Broadcast Network. It's called Salem News Channel. I don't know what it's called. It's called Salem. What is it called? Salem. Well, we have a new app. And the new app, you can download the Salem News Channel. And when you do that, you will see. In fact, I'm looking at it now so I can find out what it's called. You will see that the change in over-the-top programming has now reached the radio. We are now always in mixed media. And I would hope that it had been a Victory Monday where I could talk to you about this. Victory Monday being when both the Browns and Ohio State Buckeyes have won. But only the Ohio State Buckeyes won. Sorry, State College. I know I got a great affiliate in State College. You guys put up much more of a fight than I thought on Saturday night than we needed. And the Browns were too many costumes, not enough attention to detail. That really was a very dispiriting loss to the Steelers yesterday. I hate saying that. But you need a low point in any NFL film worth its salt, right? You cannot just win 17 games and then go off to the playoffs. You got to have a, Kirk Herbstreit said this on this show when his book came out in the summer and he was doing a book tour. No NFL team becomes a Super Bowl champion without a rough patch in a formerly 16, now 17 game season. So the rough patch is now. The Browns are 4-4 and in last place in the Central Division, the AFC North, I should call it. And it's the toughest division in football with Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Even Ben Roethlisberger was pretty doggone good yesterday. Big old Ben, been tormenting us for 18, 19, 20 years, however long he's been doing it for. He's a nightmare feature and character in the Cleveland and Columbus markets. But I mean, OBJ, Jarvis, they all dropped balls yesterday. Wasn't Baker's fault. Wasn't Nick Chubb's fault. We could use Kareem Hunt, losing Jack Conklin. But I digress. Let's get to the rundown of the news. Japan's ruling party won. There had been a little bit of doubt about whether or not the Liberal Democratic Party would retain its large majority, but they did. And the new prime minister, Kishida, remains the prime minister. And the hope is that as a young man, he will establish an 8, 9, 10-year regime, as did his predecessor, and that we will have stability. And pretty soon, not only will it be the UK, US, Australia AUKUS in the new combined coalition of the willing in the South Pacific and the South China Sea, but that Japan and India will also become of that with Vietnam as a silent partner as we work to keep the People's Republic of China away from their military escalation. Now, the biggest story of this week, and indeed of the end of this year, is what happens tomorrow in Virginia. Now, many of you will remember this line by Terry McAuliffe, cut number one in the second Virginia debate.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Now, that is the fuel on which the fire that is the Glenn Youngkin campaign is burning. Both parties await result in Virginia, according to the New York Times. Democrats fret over how spending bills stall will play with voters, says the Wall Street Journal. Small crowd greets McAuliffe at campaign stop as his GOP opponent Youngkin leads in the polls, says Fox News. Over at The New York Magazine, a lefty magazine, polling in America is still broken. So who is really winning in Virginia? That came out after the Fox News poll showed Glenn Youngkin up by 8. And the issue set is not in America what Democrats like. In the Washington Post yesterday, in a setback for Black Lives Matter, mayoral campaign shift to law and order. Crime is mattering across the United States and in Virginia. But the key giveaway was in the New York Times piece that noted, after hemming and hawing for about 20 graphs, it noted that all day yesterday, Sunday, Terry McAuliffe was being greeted by sparse crowds, and Glenn Youngkin had more than 1,000 people at every stop. the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I actually ambled down to Alexandria on Saturday morning. We have not been to a, quote, rally in many a moon, many years, probably 2012 in the Romney campaign. Actually, it was 2008 in the Romney primary campaign, probably the last time I'd been to a rally, because they're just ways to take temperature. You can't tell anything. It's a stump speech. And to our amazement, in deep blue Northern Virginia, in the center of Old Town Alexandria, something called the Farmer's Market, about 6 blocks from the Potomac, about 7 miles from Mount Vernon. It's deep blue, so blue that no Republican even bothers to run for the city council in the mayoral race. There were hundreds of people at 7:30 in the morning cheering Glenn Youngkin. I haven't seen anything like it. And that's because the issue set in Virginia is education, education, education. Democrats and independents have had it with critical race theory. They've had it with the COVID shutdown. They've had it with the quarantine rules. They've had it with school boards that are disinterested in them. And they have especially had it with play. Cut number one.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Okay. Now, after that, we get a couple of glimpses on the Sunday shows about what's going on. First, here's Chuck Todd with his open on Meet the Press yesterday. Cut number 10.
Good Sunday morning. Happy Halloween. We have a brand new NBC News poll out this morning that's filled with some scary news for the Democrats. The overarching message, Americans have lost their confidence in President Biden and their optimism for the country. At least they have right now. Just 22% of adults say we're headed in the right direction. A shocking 71% say we're on the wrong track. And that includes a near majority of Democrats who are saying that. President Biden's approval rating stands at a dismal 42% versus 54% who disapprove. Believe it or not, just 2 months ago, Mr. Biden was in positive territory, 49% approving, 48% disapproving. So what's pulling down the president's numbers? Well, look at this set of numbers. Just 37% say he has the ability right now to handle a crisis versus nearly a majority who say he does not. 37% also say he's competent and effective as president. 50% disagree with that description. What's more, Republicans, believe it or not, have double-digit leads in dealing with border security, inflation, crime, national security, the economy, and shockingly, on getting things done. Democrats hold generally smaller double-digit leads on dealing with climate change, the coronavirus, education, and abortion. And that's really it right now. It's not clear yet whether any deal struck by Democrats on the social spending and infrastructure bills will nudge Mr. Biden's numbers back into positive territory, or whether the damage to his reputation is more of a scar than a bruise. But this much is clear. About the only good news for Mr. Biden and the Democrats in this poll is that the midterm elections aren't for another year.
Well, they are, however, tomorrow in Virginia. Cut number 12, Larry Sabato talking on MSNBC with Alex Witt.
Well, first, I don't have the 8 percentage point lead for Youngkin that Fox News has. I think if you look at the big picture, you can see why nobody is going to be surprised if Youngkin actually wins, Alex. There's no two ways about it. President Biden's ratings have stayed relatively low, even in a state like Virginia that he carried by 10 points. The Democrats on Capitol Hill could not get it together, certainly in time to help Terry McAuliffe. I think he expected them to do something before November 2nd, but we all know they didn't. And there are other reasons. Yeah, McAuliffe made a serious gaffe in one of the debates and on and on.
Stop right there. He made a very revealing gaffe in the second debate. Cut number one.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
That's a pretty serious gaffe. Let's also go to Vice President Pence campaigning with Glenn Youngkin in Loudoun County on Thursday night. Cut number 18.
Under critical race theory, children as young as kindergarten are being taught to be ashamed of their skin color. Science, history, and even math are increasingly taught through a lens of racial grievance. When Terry McAuliffe was governor, the Virginia Department of Education encouraged schools to, quote, embrace critical race theory. And just recently, he said that talking about diversity to kindergartners was as important as your math and English class.
Are you thinking Mike Pence making that up? Cut number two, Terry McAuliffe on a 2019 C-SPAN event.
And I make the point that we've got to do a better job in our education system.
We've got to go back K to six. Early on, we've got to start teaching, talking about these issues much earlier than we've done it before. And we don't do a good job in our education system talking about diversity, inclusion, openness, and so forth. We don't. We've got our textbooks. But, you know, there has to be a big part of how do you fit into the social work of our nation and our fabric? How is it that we deal with one another is, to me, is as important as, you know, your math class or your English class and so forth. And we don't.
That is as important as reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's why Terry McAuliffe is falling way behind and has nobody coming to his events. Glenn Youngkin's got crowds of 1,000. That's the New York Times. That's not me. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Welcome back, America, and welcome to our new watchers on the Salem News Channel app. I'm joined. The first guest of the new era at Salem is also going to be the next governor of Virginia. Glenn Youngkin joins me this morning. Good morning, Mr. Youngkin. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
Good. Your voice, I went down with Fetching Mrs. Hewitt to listen to you on Saturday morning. We were surprised that there are 1,000 Republicans in Old Town, period. They all showed up, but I heard your voice, and my wife turned to me and said, I've heard your voice that way. You've been talking too much. So I gather you've got crowds everywhere you're going, according to the New York Times.
Hugh, the crowds have been huge everywhere we're going. And yeah, we've done 50 events in the last 10 days.
Wow.
And I'm not going through adolescence again, but yeah. we're working every day to keep everything together.
You know, Glenn Youngkin, if you're finishing with thousands of people at every rally, according to the New York Times, and poor old Terry McAuliffe can't get 10 people in a room, what's that tell you about this race?
Well, we've got huge momentum. It's really fun to see everybody come together across Virginia. And Hugh, what's been most amazing is it's Republicans, it's Democrats, it's independents, it's folks from all walks of life. I mean, the polls show it. We're winning independents by double digits. Every event we have, I have people streaming in saying, Glenn, we're Democrats. We've never voted for a Republican before. We're voting for you. We're winning the Latino vote. We've been endorsed by organizations that have never endorsed Republicans before, the Hampton Roads Black Caucus. It is so great to see unity. It's so great to see everybody coming together, and the momentum is huge. And you're right. That event in Alexandria was something else. I thought there'd be 25 or 50 people. We had to
reception.
There were so many people.
I thought I was going to say hi to you. Not a chance. There was a sea of people. And people, this is like the middle of New York City in Virginia. You can't expect a Republican to barnstorm in Alexandria 2 days before an election. But Glenn Youngkin did.
Yeah, and we're down. We just finished a big swing through Southwest Virginia. The crowds were huge. There's red signs everywhere. It is really, really fun to watch this happen. You know, Hugh, it's no longer a campaign. It's a movement. It's a movement being led by parents. It's a movement being led by Virginians. And on this ballot, on one side of it is Terry McAuliffe and his big government control and his desire to have parents separated from their children by government. And on the other side is Virginia. It's my name, but it's Virginians. And it is so awesome to watch this happen.
You know, Glenn Youngkin, my wife and I were standing next to a young couple, Chris and Brittany, and they were joined. They had their two children, and we talked education the whole time. Their kids are going to go to city schools in Alexandria. Education really is the first, the second, and the third issue in this. And I heard you make some commitments for day one of the transition and day one as the governor. Can you repeat those for people?
Yeah, of course. So we're first going to make sure our schools are open 5 days a week. And then we're going to raise standards in our schools. They've been watered down. We'll fund in the largest education budget in the history of Virginia. We're going to raise teacher salaries. We're going to fund into broken facilities. We're going to fund into our special ed programs because kids in Virginia with disabilities have suffered mightily. But we're launching forward with the most aggressive charter school program in the history of Virginia. We will provide choice within our public school system. And then, of course, we're going to get to work on our curriculum. We're going to make sure we have a curriculum that highlights excellence. And yes, we're going to help those kids that need help, but we're not going to water it down. We're going to actually raise up expectations. And of course, we're going to teach accelerated math and award advanced diplomas, which kind of came under a lot of assault. And then we're going to teach our children how to think and not what to think, and make sure that we're not using race as a divisive issue with critical race theory, but we're going to bring kids together so that we can foster friendships and communities instead of dividing them. This is a big moment for our schools. I'll have a new Secretary of Education by December 1st and a new State Superintendent of Schools by December 1st. And we're actually going to launch a task force with parents and students. By the way, parents are going to be involved, and students and administrators and teachers and law enforcement, to make sure that by the time we get into January and February, we've got ideas from parents all over Virginia to make sure our schools are representing what they want.
You know, Governor, soon to be, Youngkin, my daughter heard you on this show. She doesn't live in Northern Virginia, Southern Virginia, but she said, I'm sending my resume in for that task force he talked about. And I said, I'll forward it, but I'm pretty sure there'll be about 5,000 moms of children in public schools who want to be on that. That's a great idea. But you also talked about taxes, and I want people to understand this is the attempt, this is the chance Virginia to get back in the ring with North Carolina and Tennessee.
It really is. You know, the liberal progressive leadership in Richmond's been overtaxing Virginians, $2.6 billion last year. Going to do it again. There's plenty of money to lower taxes and invest. And so we're going to eliminate the grocery tax. We're going to suspend the most recent increase in the gas tax. Gas is too expensive. We're going to double everybody's standard deduction. We're going to work to exclude up to $40,000 over 3 years of our veterans' retirement benefits. We're only one of a handful of states that taxes our veterans. And we're going to double everybody's standard deduction. We're going to offer the largest tax rebate in the history of Virginia. This all aggregates to about $1,500, a little bit less for a family of four in year one. And my opponent, on the other hand, he's got hundreds of pages of policy that's going to cost Virginians $16 billion, and it's going to require a 5,400 tax increase to everybody. So we've got a lot of work to go on getting our cost of living down, Hugh.
Glenn Youngkin, I hope we talk to you tomorrow. But in the meantime, Youngkin for governor, if you need help on getting to the polls, there's no more early voting. You got to get out and vote tomorrow or get your absentee back. Glenn Youngkin, thank you. Continued energy and, you know, always take the hot lemon in the water when the voice goes. Been there and done that. Glenn Youngkin, the next governor of Virginia, I think about 8 p.m. tomorrow night. We'll find out on Wednesday morning right here on in the second hour ahead of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
But Chuck, we have a great school system in Virginia. Dorothy and I have raised our five children. Of course parents are involved.
I have got to say something, America. The Terry McAuliffe pratfall in the second debate, parents should leave schools alone, is not at all changed by the fact he told Chuck Todd to meet the press yesterday they raised five children in Virginia. They didn't go to public school. I'm joined now by Rhonda McDaniel, chairwoman of the National GOP at the RNC. They've got, I think, all hands on deck. Good morning, Chairwoman McDaniel. How are you?
Wonderful. Great to be with you, Hugh.
How does it look to you in Virginia? What's the party doing to support its nominee?
Well, Virginia is a blue state, as you know, a very blue state. Biden won by 10, and it is a neck-and-neck race. And a lot of it's going to come down to turnout on Election Day. Democrats are more likely to mail in their ballots. Republicans, we like to vote in person. So the party has a full Election Day operation. We have staff across the ground, and we're working hand-in-hand with the RGA and the Youngkin campaign, and it's been a great partnership.
Now, Chairwoman McDaniel, there are reports from my radio audience of people getting ballots that they didn't request. I actually think Virginia's got a pretty secure voting system. I voted here for years. I always vote early. It's voter ID state. What do you make of the Virginia voting laws? I think they're very good.
Yeah, we're monitoring everything. We've seen the Democrats try and put pressure on the governor to remove signature match. We haven't seen him do that yet. We're monitoring that. We've had 100% coverage at the absentee voting precinct in Fairfax since the day that absentee ballots have started coming in. We have everything shifted out. Over 3,000 volunteers shifted to be poll watchers. So, you know, we're doing everything that we can, and we're not seeing anything aside from the normal mistakes right now.
Now, we also have a special election in Columbus, which is important for the Republican Congress. I had him on last week. I think he's going to win. Any other big deals tomorrow other than Glenn Youngkin in Columbus?
Yeah, you have Mike Carey in Columbus for that special for the congressional seat. You also have Jack Cittarelli running for governor in New Jersey against Phil Murphy. He has really been closing in the past couple weeks. I think the last poll had him within 5. And then you've got some Pennsylvania Supreme Court races as well, or statewide court races. So there's a lot going on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm being very quiet about New Jersey because all the Democrats think Phil Murphy's got a double-digit lead, and I didn't want to tell them. But that's okay. That's okay. How is your fundraising doing, Chairwoman McDaniel?
Really well. We've outraised the DNC this year. We outraised them last month. The enthusiasm we're seeing, especially the low-dollar fundraising, has been through the roof. But we haven't lost a step, which has been great because it's allowed us to continue to up the pace on voter registration, which we have done tremendous work shrinking the Democrats' lead in Pennsylvania, Iowa, North Carolina, and Florida, building these community centers for outreach, and then also being engaged in these elections tomorrow.
You know, I got an amazing demand signal for the GOP approach in Ohio a week ago. Sunday night, I moderated a debate among 6 Republican candidates for the United States Senate there. I know you can't take a preference poll. You're the chairwoman. But all 6 of them were there, and there were 1,500 people who bought a ticket to a political event. I am amazed by that. That is a demand signal for serious conversation about how to push back against President Biden and a blue Congress.
It's a highly competitive seat in Ohio. We've got some great candidates in that Senate race. But, Hugh, what we've seen across the country in special elections, and we've had a McAllen mayor's race, Texas 6, some races in Connecticut, New Hampshire, we have seen the Democrat candidates consistently underperforming what Joe Biden did in 2020. There is an enthusiasm gap. That's what's fueling this in Virginia right now. Democrats did not turn in absentee ballots at the level I think a lot of people expected, including the McAuliffe campaign. And why is that? Because Democrats continue to double down on their far left agenda of, defunding the police, open borders. Now we're looking at this Build Back Broke plan that Biden's putting together as our country is dealing with record inflation. So I think we're seeing the shift now, and even in generic ballots, polling not done by Republicans, but by outside groups. Republicans are doing better on things like handling the economy and many other issues that Americans care about.
You know, I haven't heard that Build Back Broke yet. I love that, Chairwoman McDaniel. That's very good. The BBB thing, I have not heard Build Back Broke. In Virginia, education is the number one issue, both a pushback against the guilt-inducing, racial division-increasing, critical race theory derivatives, and against quarantine and shutdowns. Is that general across the country, or is that just the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Well, I gave a speech about this in the summer, and I said Democrats have an awoken a sleeping giant, which is moms, and I'm one of them, with kids in public school. And we were on the front lines of the pandemic, watching our kids navigate not being with their friends, the mental health issues that they dealt with the stress of not getting the education they needed, helping them get on their Zoom classes. There's nothing that is harder than watching your child be taught virtually and knowing they're not getting the education they deserve. And it's so insulting. And I will tell you, I was personally insulted to hear McAuliffe double down over and over again on parents have no say on education. When we have really been on the front line the past 2 years, especially in blue states, I'm from Michigan, where our kids were kept out of the classroom. And we are seeing the aftermath of that every day. I have a junior in high school. let me just tell you, we are still dealing with this in our home. And I think a lot of parents around the country are as well.
Now, I'm old enough to have young grandkids who are in early elementary school. And the mask mandate for kids in the first, second, and third grade is nuts in kindergarten. It's just nuts. It's crazy. There's no science behind it. But more to the point, the CRT, Democrats have pushed back in Virginia saying if CRT isn't taught. Thomas Jefferson High School, the best high school in Virginia, previously was only on test entrance, blind test, blind to race, blind to gender. You had to succeed on the test. Equity issues have now changed that. Equity issues is simply shorthand for we're going with CRT, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I think CRT is a huge issue. I mean, parents do not, all parents, you don't want your child being taught that they're racist or oppressed based on the color of their skin, and they have no choice and no ability to change who they are. I mean, it is so contrary to what our country believes, and I think a lot of parents are offended by that, the mask. You know, when my son got his vaccine, I'm very pro-vaccine. He said, Mom, if I get this, do I not have to wear a mask in school? I said, yes. Of course, he's wearing a mask every day. I'm still happy to have him in 5 day a week learning, but it really is hard on these kids right now. And I think parents have finally awakened to what our kids are being taught. And to have Democrats double down that parents shouldn't have a say, no, thank you. Parents are the taxpayers. We are the consumer. It is our kids' lives and education that are at stake. You do not get to shut our voices down.
There are school board races across Virginia tomorrow. There are school board races in Ohio tomorrow. There are school board races in a lot of places, and I think we're going to see the first waves of parental discontent lap up in those races. And I hope your candidate training and your candidate recruitment stresses that education is a winning issue for Republicans. We need choice. We need higher teacher pay. We need fewer teachers' unions.
100%. This is not about teachers. We love our teachers. And I will tell you, my kids' teachers would be offended that McAuliffe would say parents shouldn't be involved. They want to know about the kids. But the unions have done no favors to our students. They do not care about the kids and their education. It's about how much money can we get in negotiation. And our kids have been the victim of that. And school board races, candidacy is exploding. I talk to people all the time who are running for school board across the country because we know education is a winning issue, like you said, from choice to parental involvement to CRT. These are issues that are winning for Republicans.
Now, Chairwoman, I'm never going to have you on without lobbying you about presidential debates in the Republican primary. David Bossi and I sat down after you were on the last time. I said, David, we cannot wait. There's a huge demand for Republicans to sit down, even if they end up not running, bring three or four or five of them together and have a conversation about these issues, because there's a huge demand. How is that report coming, that task force that you sent off on Republican debates in the 2024 cycle?
It's moving very well. We're getting into the rulemaking phase of the RNC. I know this is really boring stuff.
No, it's not. We love rules.
So we have recommendations that will come in our February meeting at the RNC. I'm not going to give too much information, but negotiations and a lot of good things and movement are happening. We're hoping we get it to where we want it to be. We're keeping that quiet while we're working well together. And then as we have some information, we'll come out and share. And if it doesn't go well, everyone will know. And if it goes well, everyone will know.
Lots of debates. Get them started early. Make sure there are conservatives on the panel. And of course, the most experienced conservative would be me. But Ronna McDaniel, you know that.
I do.
A very quick question. In your home state of Michigan, you've got an interesting governor candidate coming out of Detroit, former police chief there. Are there others?
Yeah, there's about five in the race. Four in the race, a woman named Tudor Dixon, a guy named Garrett Soldano, James Craig, and I know there's another one that I'm blanking on, but, you know, it's going to be a competitive race. The thing that I don't like about some of these races when you're going against an incumbent is August primaries. So I always say to the candidates, do not beat each other up so much that you cannot win in a general. Keep your eyes focused on Gretchen Whitmer and the disaster she has been for the state of Michigan so that you can be competitive coming out of a very, very highly contested primary.
You know, you're so right. We had six Republicans. It's a May primary in Ohio for the Senate.
May in Ohio,
yeah. We had six Republicans, and they did not throw anvils at each other. They kept the hammers in the belt, and they talked about Democrats, which is the way to win in a primary without bleeding out. And it's in everyone's benefit to talk about issues and Democrats in a primary because it's always about the general election. Ronna McDaniel, you're a great chair. Good luck tomorrow in getting everyone to the polls and getting the Republican Party of Virginia organized. Look, I'm proudly a Republican. I tell you that every single day. I'm a conservative, and I believe Republicans have to be courageous, combative, constitutional, and they've got to have character. And that way they end up being the candidate, and that way they end up being the winner. And that's what Ronna McDaniel has been doing over at the RNC. Let me go back and play for you Newt Gingrich talking to Maria Bartiromo yesterday. The former Speaker of the House has been following the Virginia race closely. Cut number four.
Well, if Youngkin wins, which I think he will, I suspect Republicans will replay Kamala's comments over and over again, because she just said basically, if Youngkin wins, it means a disaster for the Democrats in 22 and 24. I happen to think she's right. There will be a disaster because they're too far to the left. They're spending too much money and they're too alienated from the American people. Something which Selena Zito wrote a brilliant column on this morning, that they just don't get it. And I saw this yesterday. I was watching Georgia win over Florida. Sorry to say that to my Florida friends. But I watched a lot of commercials for both Terry McAuliffe and for Glenn Youngkin. And what was fascinating was McAuliffe's commercials are very political. Glenn Youngkin's talking about real life. He's talking about jobs. He's talking about children. He's talking about safety. He's talking about schools. So the difference in the two commercials, the sets of commercials, I saw about 12 or 14 of them, was remarkable. And I think partially explains why McAuliffe is losing.
He sure does. Newt Gingrich is right. Selena Zito, by the way, is coming up right after the break. Newt Gingrich is right. Youngkin is winning. For a lot of great reasons, including he's talking about issues that matter. ReliefFactor.com is in my hand. ReliefFactor.com is a sponsor of this show. I take it every day. I took it in the first hour. I reminded you about it now as you head into the car and you drive to work on the East Coast or you're just getting up in the Central Time Zone or maybe even in the Rocky Time Zone or if you're commuting one of those ridiculous commutes in California. ReliefFactor.com will make it easier. Icarian and Curcumin, Resveratrol and Omega, they work together to be nature's anti-inflammatories. Get the exercise in, get a day older, make your commute feel better about it if you've got ReliefFactor.com on your side. I'm coming right back with Selena Zito. I hope you've downloaded the new Salem News Channel app. It's available at the App Store. Go and get it. Watch The Hugh Hewitt Show every morning.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway, joined now by Selena Zito, columnist of the world, reader of stuff at the New York Post, in the Wall Street Journal, in the Washington Examiner, everything over at selenazito.com. Selena, you just got a shout out from Newt Gingrich on Maria Bartiromo yesterday. Nice work.
I didn't even know it. That sounds great. Thank you.
Please don't bring up the Steelers and I'll continue to talk to you. I hate it when Big Ben comes to First Energy and does that to the Browns. So we won't talk about that. Let's talk about your column on West Virginia because I think it applies a lot to the Virginia voters tomorrow. They're feeling the same thing, Selena.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime West Virginia becomes part of the national narrative, which always happens when Joe Manchin is the center of attention. And inevitably, the press turns to their eyes to the people of West Virginia and their lives. And, you know, it becomes sort of a mockery of the way they live, the way they're, you know, their way of life. And it's just so incredibly frustrating for them. But also, you know, I went down there, I went all through the state and I talked to people down there and they said, well, you know what? The problem is they don't respect us. They don't respect us because they don't know anybody like us. And we just have to work sort of twice as hard in everything that we do, whether it's a high school football game and an opposing team comes down and says, hello, Hicksville, or it's talking about the energy that we or the steel and the coal and the coke that we produce that makes your lives better. We just have to work harder.
You know, Selena, Appalachia is in Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's in West Virginia. It's in Virginia. It's in North Carolina. It's in Tennessee. It's in Georgia. So when people make fun of West Virginia. They are actually making fun of a deliverance-induced caricature that has nothing to do with the people of Appalachia and is deeply resented. People ask me, why did West Virginia go deep red? It's because the deep blue coastal elites have been laughing at it for 40 years.
Right. And so that pushback by people that started in West Virginia is actually sort of a microcosm of what you saw across the Great Lakes Midwest in 2016. Actually, I would say ahead of 2016, in 2010, 2014, as Democrats started losing strongholds in these deep blue counties. It was those voters carrying forth what West Virginian voters had taken the lead on 10 years ago. They were tired of being the butt of a joke. They were tired of being called flyover country in a way that was demeaning rather than something to look up to. And so when we, you know, when in the book, The Great Revolt, we talked about it, it just wasn't politics. It was all our cultural curators, whether they were in corporations like what you saw in with Major League Baseball in Atlanta, or whether it was in academia or institutions. You know, you don't have to worry about me talking about a Steelers game because I haven't watched them since 2016, and the NFL decided to go all political. You know,
So woke has turned out to be wrong in middle America. And I believe we're going to see that in the Youngkin race. How are you reporting? I went down to a Youngkin rally in Old Town, which is the deepest blue part of Virginia. Hundreds, maybe 1,000 people on a Saturday morning at 7:30, Selena. That just isn't a normal year.
No, it's not. I've been covering Virginia races for over 20 years. You know, I think we should not only just watch this governor's race, but we also should watch the race for attorney general and keep your eyes on the who holds the majority in the House of Delegate races. You know, this is what the Democrats have gotten wrong about this election, is that they have made it all about either Trump or how important it is to pass this bill. Two things that are not important to Democrat voters that are independent thinking, conservative Democrat voters, independent voters, and Republicans. They have moved on from Trump. These are about very local issues. And it doesn't mean they don't like Trump. However, there is nuance in politics that I think that the Democrats and my profession have missed in not understanding. When people go to a voting booth in an off year election, they're going to vote about what's happening in their community, what's happening with their children, what's happening with their security in their communities. They're not voting on national issues.
As Selena Zito argued in her column, as Newt Gingrich mentioned that column to Maria Bartiromo yesterday on Fox Business Sunday, she's exactly right. In Virginia, they're not voting over the Build Back Broke program, as Rona McDaniel called it. They're not voting on Donald Trump and Joe Biden. They're voting on the despair and the dismay over Washington fueling inflationary fires and getting involved in children's education to the level where the CDC is simply not trusted anymore. The FDA is not trusted. People want to trust parents. That's the Virginia race. That's why Glenn Youngkin is winning. I'll be right back. It's election eve in Virginia. I'm live inside the Beltway, the third hour of the Hugh Hewitt Show, straight ahead.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Welcome back, America. The public launch of the Salem News Channel is underway. The Salem News Channel is available for download in the App Store, and you can watch us. Maybe I'll get Josh Kroshauer to start Skyping in, Josh. Will you do that on a Monday morning at 8:51 in the Washington, D.C. area?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Glad to help out. I'm you know, everyone's using Skype these days, you know, for TV and stuff. So it's radio and TV are kind of converging, I think.
It's all one platform. It's called over-the-top broadcasting. And now everyone with a studio can also get broadcast quality cameras in there. And so people will be watching. Yep. So we'll start Skyping you next week. Josh, you are a nonpartisan but very accurate political reporter. Give us your summary that the National Journal readers and your followers on Twitter at Hotline Josh will be getting about the Virginia gubernatorial race.
All you got to do is be on the campaign trail these final couple weeks and see the difference in engagement from both of the parties and both of the candidates. I was out in Springfield, a very blue part of Northern Virginia, over the weekend, where there were about 400 people, Republicans, independents, rallying pretty enthusiastically for a Youngkin campaign event. You don't see that very often in this neck of the woods. The fact that Glenn Youngkin was campaigning in Alexandria, which, as you know, Hugh, is one of the bluest parts of the state over the weekend, that shows you that he's feeling confident, that they're trying to not just get out Republicans, but they think that they can pick off some Democrats, certainly win over independents by a pretty healthy margin. McAuliffe, his campaign events have been more sparsely attended. The enthusiasm that I think McAuliffe expected hasn't been there, publicly at least. They're worried. They're getting a lot of the more traditional liberal turnout in the early vote, but they're very worried about African-American turnout. That's the big concern. It's not showing up in the early vote. They're going to need a big black turnout on Election Day to really make up the very real enthusiasm on the Republican side.
You know, Josh, I'm going to come back to that in a second. I went to the Alexandria rally with my wife because I wanted to see how many people would actually get up at 7:30 in the morning for a Republican candidate in an off year. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people. I expected to be able to go over and say hello to Glenn Youngkin. No way. I mean, it was just hundreds and hundreds of people in Old Town at Market Square. That is the bluest blue dot in Virginia, isn't it?
Yeah, 80% of Alexandria voters voted for Joe Biden just last year. So that's a reflection. You would not see a Republican show their face in Alexandria in recent elections because it's just, you know, it doesn't make sense unless you're really building a coalition that's not just getting Republicans and independents, but even peeling off some of those moderate Democrats on the issue of education.
Yeah, they don't even bother to run for mayor. You know, there is no Republican. It's like New York City. And Glenn Youngkin drawing that crowd, quite the tell. Let me ask you about education, Josh Kroshauer, because Terry went on with Chuck Todd yesterday, and Chuck did a good job, but Terry is just tone deaf. Let me play for you his number one cut, number five on Meet the Press yesterday.
But Chuck, we have a great school system in Virginia. Dorothy and I have raised our five children. Of course, parents are involved in.
Let me play you cut six.
Be left in the hands of the parents, or should it be left to the school boards and others who do this every single day and focus on it?
They would argue that bill is not saying
it. As you saw in the crowd, everybody clapped when I said it.
Everybody did not clap when he said what he said, and his children went to private school, Josh. Does anyone get fooled by that now?
Yeah, I saw the McAuliffe interview with Chuck, and the thing that struck me is that McAuliffe hasn't changed his talking points for months, even though this issue of education and the curriculum standards, school closures last year, clearly have been a major factor in why Glenn Youngkin has now got the late momentum in this race. He's still, you know, saying critical race theory is a racist dog whistle. He needs to take a page from the Clinton playbook and say, I feel your pain. I may not agree with you on education with everything, but I understand the parental frustrations that are taking place. And it's not just a Republican thing. It's a lot of voters, independents, Democrats, too, are frustrated with what's been going on.
You know, Josh, I would have expected.
And I don't understand why he hasn't adapted his message. It's politically tone deaf.
It's completely tone deaf. I would have expected him to arrange a sister soldier moment where he could rebuke the CRT. I would have expected him to come out for Thomas Jefferson High School and maintaining its rigorous entrance standards as opposed to adopting an equity-based admissions criteria. Do you think anyone in Virginia isn't aware that CRT is in the water everywhere?
Yeah, anyone who's been paying attention. I mean, where McAuliffe and certainly Democrats are saying critical race theory is not taught in the classroom, but there's been plenty and plenty of evidence reporting being done by all kinds of mainstream and conservative sources showing how the curriculum has changed, showing how teachers are politicizing classrooms in a lot of public schools. It's certainly creeping in, and people, you know, parents know this. They're on the front lines, and that's why you see the movement. The polling in the Washington Post and Fox poll show parents of K-12 kids swinging pretty dramatically towards the Republican Youngkin in this race. That's not a coincidence. You know, you're
very,
not
the fact that very last, dramatic. Yeah, I mean,
Well, Loudoun County voted 25 points for Biden in the last year's election. That's the hotbed of the education wars. The Youngkin campaign thinks they can win Loudoun County. That gives you a set. These are not just Republican voters. These are Biden voters that are being really dissatisfied about the state of the educational system.
I hope the networks are out like you've been out, Josh Kroshauer, following the actual turnout. Glenn Youngkin has rallies across the state today. I don't even know if Terry McAuliffe's going out on the road. It's so dispiriting not to have anyone show up. Glenn Youngkin with the momentum. I'll be back tomorrow on Election Day. Thank you, Josh Kroshauer. Thank you, Adam and Ben. Thank you, Generalissimo. Thank you to the new viewers of the Salem News Channel. Go and download the app. And if you didn't have it today, watch me or as you listen to me tomorrow morning on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.